It's now time for the Crime Report, and brought to you by the Crime Stoppers in Suffolk County. 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. All calls are kept confidential. And a monetary reward of up to $5,000 issued for information that will lead to an arrest. Joseph Jacqueline, of course, retired NYPD sergeant. He's a former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad, current adjunct professor John J. Collins, and author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, a guide for new investigators, edition number 3, and a highly decorated member, Joe, in the day as far as the NYPD, including the most notable Department Medal of Valor. And we say very good morning to the Sarge. Joseph, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. I'm good. How are you?
All is good, my friend. Again, you know, we have to go over some numbers. Latest come in, no surprise. Statewide, you got murders rising, Joe, 48.7. Thefts of as far as automobiles, that's up 53.6. Overall crime in the state for 2020, up 1.2. Here on the island, a little surprising. Murder rose 51.2. Thefts rose as well, 41.2. In the city, they're up. The murders, 33.3. You know, you had a little lull in the action. Here we go again. Shooting incidents are up 18%, Joe. All of the major felonies except burglary and rape, you know, they were up for the week. You know, it's the common denominator. We say it all the time in each equation. It is there as far as I'm concerned. You know, a lot has to do with the bail stuff, less cops. Everybody wants to defund. It's the same old story. I sound like a broken record, but nobody's fixing it, you know. Legislative session ends last week. Nothing's spoken about it except what you and I spoke about last week regarding parole reform and clean slate and less is more. I'm telling you, I'm getting tired of this.
It's amazing what's happening. Like I said, we spoke about this last week, about all the reforms that have gone through and not letting us digest one at a time and keep on powering through. I said last week we were going to have a problem with discovery issues, and I'm already hearing through the grapevine that we already have. So we're going to be hearing some news about that shortly, too, where the prosecutors aren't able to put these cases together in order to get them to trial fast enough, and they're going to get basically tossed out. So it's going to be a long, hot summer, Jay. I mean, we saw the rainy Memorial Day weekend kind of gave a break in New York City, and now we're seeing, like you said, it's coming back. But when the whole state, when they reported the whole state yesterday, it was a bit of an eye opener. I mean, Long Island murder rose 51%. I mean, we got to see where those numbers are coming from, because we haven't really heard anything much from the counties about that kind of those kind of numbers and that kind of rise. So it's going to be interesting. And I had originally said that we were going to be affected. Long Island would be affected by, you know, what was happening in even New York City, because all the guns that are flowing through and the retirements and the depolicing and you name it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Like you said, our legislators, they just keep on piling on.
And it's, you know, it's the same stuff. You know, we talk about the bail stuff. You know, judges' discretion is stripped. You know, rapid disclosure, that's altered. Discovery requirements, that's altered. You know, these are three things that they altered in such a way. And don't think these guys on the street don't know this. And that's why these crimes are out. Listen, there's less police out there. When you take away the crime units and everything else in New York City, this is what happens. You had 600 strong there, men and women. That's no more. So in essence, you know, you wonder. I was shocked by the numbers on the island. I did not realize 51.2, Joe. That was a large number to me as far as the murders. I didn't realize that. You're right. I'd like to see where they're coming from. If murder has risen 51.2 here on the island, thefts of cars, that's up 41.2. I want to know more details there. No?
Yes. Yeah, the auto thefts actually have been trending for the last couple of years, and nobody's really given that much of a thought to it and trying to figure out why. But last year, the numbers were up dramatically. Now, people say, well, you know, COVID, cars were parked for a long period of time, and it was, they were easy pickings. Sure, some could be insurance fraud, right? People are struggling to pay their bills, and all of a sudden the car disappears with the car payments, stuff like that. That could also be part of it. But it's been happening for a while now. It just didn't happen last year. A lot of people like want to blame COVID for everything, but the trends have been going positive for a while now, way before COVID even started.
I'm keeping an eye on this mayoral race with, on the Dem side, you know, Eric Adams has been a strong candidate from the start. And the primary is Tuesday, but they have the early voting now. This is the sixth day now. And he has a lead, but it's a slight lead. And God forbid if we get a Maya Wiley in place here. I mean, that is a clone, a female version of you-know-who. God forbid, Joe, we get something of that nature going, we're in trouble. I mean, are you talking about how bad it is right now? This is a woman who wants to take the guns away, folks, from cops. Okay?
Not the bad.
So now we're going to fight crime with pepper spray, right? That's what she'll do. Now, she's skirted the issue. She has not been definitive, but we know where she's going here, Joe, you know? That would be the ultimate disaster, you know? That would be the ultimate disaster. And that's a race you got to watch. You know, you got to watch that as far as this primary is concerned. Now, what's going on with Washington Square Park? Because that's turning into quite a scene there now, quite a mess, if you can tell us.
Washington Square Park has turned into basically bedlam over there. They had last week there was a stabbing, and they have live boxing matches between people in the audience, so to speak. They're not letting the cops in. It's almost turning into like the Chaz in Seattle, where, you know, Portland, they don't want the cops to go, no cop areas. Graffitiing up the Washington monuments. I mean, it's just been bedlam. The people in the neighborhood have been complaining about it. Open drug use, prostitution, you name it. So it's probably pretty messy now. It's shaping up. I mean, I look back in the history books there. I mean, I remember this. I wasn't up on the police department yet, but in Tompkins Square Park, this is the same kind of thing that happened. And quite often, it got cleaned up, but it was actually referred to as a police riot. So where the police went in and just, you know, cleared everybody out and sent so many people to the hospital. I mean, it was absolutely craziness what happened. There are videos still of it. You can watch it on YouTube if people don't remember or don't know what I'm talking about. And I don't think that this is going to end without some sort of police action, because the political will in New York City has been zero. I mean, it's just de Blasio has just been turning a blind eye to it, like he did with the no cop zone on Chamber Street, if you remember, going back a few months ago. So it's happening again.
And even, remember Tessa Major? The Tessa Major incident? I mean, listen, he does nothing about this, okay? He does nothing about this stuff. The poor college kid was stabbed to death over a cell phone. Remember that? It's the same old stuff, something you have to watch. But again, you know, you don't have the leadership in New York City, and this is what's going on. This is what's going on. That's why it's such an important race for mayor now in play. All right, let's shift to Nassau, because more heat's coming by way of Pat Riley, the commissioner of police in Nassau County. You know, he made some stupid comments regarding the hiring process. Disparities, obviously, are there. He called the situation individuals from broken homes. It wasn't a smart comment at all. Does it warrant a resignation or him stepping aside? Hey, listen, he's under fire. He should have made the comment, okay? Overall, I've been watching Ryder for a number of years now, and I think he's been a pretty good commissioner overall. I really do. I don't think these types of comments warrant a firing, a resignation. Unless he feels it's warranted for the good of the department, it might be. But in essence, you know, the root of the problem is a lot deeper here, and that has to be corrected, we know. But Pat Ryder right now is in some trouble, and usually when you get this type of heat, something happens and we'll see. What's your take on this?
Yeah, no, this becomes politics now. So when politics becomes the major focus, we don't care about any of the other issues. So they're going after County Executive Linda Kerr in there, Lauren Kerr, excuse me, and, you know, she's up for re-election next year, and they're going to put as much pressure on her as they can. in order to get what they want. So this, the activist groups, I mean, they've been pretty loud. They held a public meeting. They had it out, and they explained what their argument was about his comments that he made, which were inappropriate. I mean, if you look at the numbers, I mean, there was 6,539 black candidates for police officer in Nassau County, and only 67 were hired. So we're talking about, I guess it's less than 1%. I'm not good at math, but I maybe figure that one out. So, I mean, that number is, I don't even know how they come up with that number. Generally, historically, when you take police tests, usually they hire about 10% of the list. So if 10,000 people take it, they usually hire 1,000 people off it. That's generally the way it goes. So, if they can show about what exactly happened. So I'm thinking what's going to happen next year, Jay, is there going to be a huge investigation by the state or maybe even the DOJ, because we know that they're under a consent decree for not hiring minority candidates. So this is a big problem for them. And they're going to examine those 6,500 and so candidates and try to find out why each one of them was denied the job of police officer in Nassau County. And I think the county's going to have to explain why they weren't chosen for specific reasons. I don't know if it's going to get that into the minutia, but I think they're going to take large swaths of that and take a look at it and say, okay, well, you explain these 100 candidates. Why didn't they get the job?
Well, you have to have. So there's something going on here, and that's why you're right. There has to be a massive investigation. Listen, when you have over 6,500 black candidates and only 67 hired, less than 1% folks, that's an issue, okay? That's an issue. You must root out this problem. Now, does it warrant this guy stepping away? Now, this is where the pressure, I feel, is in a massive way right now for the county executive, who has done a very good job in leading this county. And you're right. She's up for re-election. And this could be the straw that breaks her back, you know? Does she fall to the pressure? She's got an election coming up against Bruce Blakeman. What happens here? How much pressure is on Laura Kern? Immense amount of pressure right now. So this isn't going away, okay?
No.
There has to be some revelations here as to why 1% as far as the hiring. Something's gone awry. And we've seen other incidents here. You know, we talk about the traffic stops with minorities. We talk about shakedowns, $100 bills. Remember the guy Scott Green out in Suffolk County? I remember it well. Listen, this all has to be investigated in a massive way. Massive. And you must root out this problem because it's a massive problem. It really is. So let's see what happens. More pressure on the CE right now as far as what happens next year. That's an interesting one right there. Joe Jacqueline.
Yeah.
The crime report. Joe, where are we going here? Let's go to the MS-13 stuff. Where you had Antonio Colal plead guilty, the machete killings. This was in the massive Pequa Preserve. We went over this in a big way. Remember the incident a couple of years ago, right off Sunrise Highway. He admitted to the killing. Wouldn't admit, though, to being a gang member. He agreed he acted in concert with some of the other members. He'll be sentenced in August there. But you know what? The arrests, the sentencings keep on coming here with this game.
Yep, and the feds are, taking this case too. So it's we've seen these federal prosecutions keep on going forward. And like I said, he took the plea to guilty, but he would not admit to being a gang member. But he admitted being working in concert with MS-13 gang members or whatever that. So the issue that comes down to is that he will be sentenced on August 20th and, probably looking at 25 to life.
Joe, we talk about it all the time. The fear, and this is why you keep a close eye as far as what's happening down at the border with this crisis, because it's all about the unaccompanied minors, right? I mean, we talk about this all of the time, even during the Trump days, because it was so lax. And then all of a sudden, you kind of quelled the problem. They had the panels and everything else regarding gangs here on the island 2 times. Trump came to Long Island. But now you do not want to see a resurgence, Joe, and that's a possibility. And this is why you keep a very close watch as far as this border crisis is concerned. And there were already, right, Joe, there have already been gang members that have been stopped, that have been on watch lists and everything else, so that's something you got to keep an eye on. Am I correct in that?
Yes, and we don't want a new, you know, whole bunch of fresh new recruits for them either. So turning in, you know, people that are coming to start a better life and then forcing them into the gangs and stuff on top of that. So, yeah, it's very important that they keep an eye on it and they don't let up the pressure on this gang and keep on targeting the heads of it.
Joe Jackal on the crime report. A couple of more. This was a pretty big story because Suffolk's first deputy police commissioner, James Skopik, a close ally of the former commissioner, Geraldine Hart, is stepping aside. He's retiring from the police department. I believe his last day is today. It was Hart who installed him. He's a former Nass Police homicide detective as her top deputy when she became the commissioner. That was back in 2018. So, you know, you look at this now, Joe, and more importantly for me, Skopik's the third, I think it's third, top Suffolk police official to put in their retirement papers in the last couple of months. You remember the retirement of the chief of detectives, Gerard Giganti, who left amid a very internal affairs investigation to alleged cheating on a promotional exam overseen by his office. He's denied any wrongdoing here, but in essence, you know, you see a bit of a pattern here. Obviously, Geraldine Hart went elsewhere. So, you know, you wonder what's going on within the ranks here, no?
Well, I mean, everyone knows that when a new commissioner comes in, generally they clean house. So I guess people want to just leave on their own terms. That happens quite often in police departments. But yeah, no, I mean, we kind of, people just seem to forget about that whole cheating scandal under, you know, under Hart and everything else. And now everybody's leaving. Yeah, could that be a reason? Yeah, maybe. But I don't think that's a criminal issue or anything like that. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that. Like I said, I just think it's people leaving on their own terms because knowing the likelihood of them being replaced is pretty strong.
Yep, no question about it. And finally, Joe, leave it to you to tweak me on this Friday morning, once again, with our beloved MTA, ladies and gentlemen. That is the most troubled agency, in my estimation, where you have a husband and wife, conductors, the individuals who check your tickets, apparently stole wages, about $3,400 in wages, from the railroad by covering each other when one would stay home from work. A new internal report released. Here we go again. You know, Pat Foy is stepping away, right? They put him somewhere. Listen, they're not going to tell you, but part of the reason is he just couldn't get it right. I mean, there is so much cheating going on here. You know, you could buy all the new time clocks you want. I mean, they can't solve this thing. You know, I mean, the ripoffs continue regarding this agency. My good Joe, it's unbelievable. It really is.
Well, you know, in the silver cloud, silver lining part of thing of the cloud, I look at it as, you know, at least there are some internal investigations that are going on and that they can spot some sort of, you know, fraud or some sort of criminal activity. So this is a case where they look at it and say, maybe we take it as a positive and we move forward from it, that they're actually trying to clean up the MTA.
Clean up the MTA? Oh, my God. Telling you, man. Hey, listen, $12 billion. I need $12 billion. Please give me $12 billion. Okay, unbelievable. I tell you, it really is. Every time we do these stories, you want guys are in Cabo working. You know, it's fixing the rails, overtime, putting it. You know, it's unbelievable. It really is. $300,000 in overtime. Guys making $160,000 salary. Just keeps going. Joe Jackal on the Crime Report, brought to you by the Crime Stoppers, Suffolk County, 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. All calls, of course, get confidential and monetary reward of up to $5,000 issued for info that will lead to an arrest. Sir, you have a wonderful weekend, and I'll talk to you.
You too, Jay. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right, there you go.